Ready for the word this evening? You ready for the word this evening? Let's use our hands together and say, Dear Father, in the name of your Son Jesus, in this service, we receive fresh revelation and fresh application of the revelation of your word. Together as a church, behold Jesus Christ, your Son, even as he sees us in him. In this service and in this teaching, he is glorified as we are edified together with the body of Christ. Amen. Matthew's Gospel. We're back on the burdens in prayer, and I just will share this quickly. You know, on Sunday, I was speaking with the cell leaders on Sunday evening. We do it every month. So, I did share something with them. There was one thing I shared with them. Everybody will hear that, but there was something else I said was just for them. But along the line, I was now speaking. You know, last week I began to speak about burdens, prayers. If God's going to do anything in the earth, that he will stir up people to pray. Remember? I said the last week and then. So today, I just had a preacher. You know, yesterday I spoke to someone, a preacher in Nigeria here. They're holding a conference. So we spoke about the church, the body of Christ, and all. So I didn't really pay attention to what he said until he now spoke about what he believes is in the heart of God. So I didn't pay attention until... No, I did pay attention. Sorry, how am I saying that? So today, I now went to watch the service he spoke about. And when I chatted him, I said, this is exactly what I said on Sunday. And, you know, about those who used to have prayer boardings, like an intercessory ministry in school, said the same thing. So I said it on Wednesday. And then we went into the coming month, and exactly what I said on Sunday to the cell leaders was what he said. So I said, well, we have to strengthen what we are sharing now. You hearing me? You have to pick in things. I know there's something about sensitivity. You can do the right thing at the wrong time. And I found some people say, don't worry, it's about ministry. It's to preach. And they think that they can dictate when to do it. So they say, you know, let me just go and do this one first when I'm ready. It's just to preach. Is it not the word? I'll just put things together. And then I remember somebody was telling me this and said, I asked the question. This was well over 10 years ago. No, what I'm talking about, 14, 15 years ago. And I said, the person was going to leave the church that he was attending and said, and I said, but, I mean, why are you disconnecting yourself from this? You know God has put you here. He said, no problem, that anywhere I get to, I know that I would, and I look at the statement, anywhere I get to, I know I'll just, it's the word. It's the word, and I'll do ministry. You know, it's arrogance. It's pride. It's arrogance. There's a way you can think because you have knowledge, you can control God. So you say, don't worry. Maybe it's God. I can take care of him. Let me do my own. And I told the person, I said, mark it. What you said now will stand against you. He said, I'll do ministry. I'll just get there and I'll just organize something. And I'll organize something. The person believes that whatever he was doing in his ministry that had to do with the grace of God was just something. I'm not skillful. Don't worry. What's the big deal? You just start something. I was looking. You know, you think you know. I'm the one that probably, some people are talking, I'm the one that taught you. And I'm telling me, don't worry. I was like, you know, it's like, you think we have taught you enough. Very arrogant. So I said, don't do that. You have to key in to... You don't have every time to do. You just say, well, I'll go dictate the time. No, don't worry. I'll just, when I do this one, then I'll not do it. And you say, hey, did you orchestrate how God led you to what you're doing today? No, you don't. You just decided in your head. And that's one of the things that you see people. I was talking about talks today. We were talking about this, something like that. And I said, you see people that they don't have what you can call accuracy or doctrine. Let's put it in that way. I'm very careful to say that, but you don't have that. But somehow, they will be in God's agenda. Because they are not proud. or arrogant. And they'll just key in. Because the truth about the matter is that when you are giving to prayer, right, no matter how ignorant you are of the written word, you will lay hold to a level and a degree of God's will in the earth. Now, I used to tell you a lot of times, God trusts the man that prays. Remember? Some people, they didn't like that statement. Some of them, all our word people, say, what's that? How can you say God trusts a man that prays? Over a man who knows Bible. You can't break down doctrine. And I laughed. I told someone, I said, the person talking, does he play down doctrine? Which doctrine have you even taught in your life? I said, what are you talking about? I was a Bible school teacher as a teenager. So what are you, who are you telling that doctrine? I said, no, I'm the one that's telling you. That when it comes to prayer, that God will trust the man that prays. And when I say, I always put a caveat. That for the man that knows doctrine really will be a man of prayer. If God's going to do anything in the earth, he sets people praying. I was talking to the pastors on Sunday. I have to say this. I told them, we have to rearrange some things that we had planned. And that's something prayer does. You know some things are for next year. You just know. Some things are for 2 years. You just know. And you have planned it to probably put a date to it. Say no, this one. Prayer just reorders it. There's a way he does it. So he went, I can sort it out. God is not under your control. That you can determine, when I just quote scripture, I just pray in tongues, raise my hand, I just speak some scripture, and then you just say, I'm impressed. And I say, go ahead and do your wish. It doesn't work like that. So that's why you have to listen. You have to listen. Because the written word gives us instructions as touching utterances, revelations. You know, you came to what God is doing, you just pick it up. So I showed them something. I told them this on Sunday. I said, there was something someone said. It was a member of this church. I had to tell him, don't say it. Because I knew he saw something. I said, don't say anything. So I called the leaders. I said, that fellow, he saw something we all know that we don't talk about. He saw it. I said, so we have to now know what is happening now. What's happening now? And I know something. Some of us are very sensitive. When God wants to do something, that's when you start making some stupid moves. Jesus is about to take Judas to make him one of the 12. That's the time he got offended. Is that not funny? He got offended. And somehow, you know, God's plan, you know, he had a bishopric. God's plan was to have him and Peter and become the pillars of the New Testament era, as we call it. And then, of course, the devil was planning his own. And he was using the chief priests and they were working. So he just got enlisted. You know, because the devil was looking for people to show up the army. Are you joining me? Yes! You do? I understand. This is logical. Everybody's flowing. Nobody was speaking in tongues with me. Just come. Let's walk together. You know, done what you did. He was not upset. It's been so quick like another thing. Say his ambition is desolate. Jesus said it's better if that fellow was not born. That scripture, I don't know about, it scares me. It was better if he was not born. How can they call somebody son of perdition? That's the nickname. Yeah. So, that's sensitive. This is what God is doing. And it's nothing as stupid as God has called Yinka now and said, Yinka, I'm going to use him. Then you start opposing him. You are the most stupid person in the world. God has chosen when you are opposing the person. You are not sensible. You know. So, when I heard that, then there was something we have to lay hold on. And it's good for us as a people. And as in your life too, like I said, you just see people. You just see something, you just be a distraction. Because Satan is experienced. He's an experienced enemy. He knows, this is happening. We are praying, there's prophecy. There's this one, it will just be triggering different things around. So you have to be very sensitive. Are you here? So I just take on this teaching and there was something I was thinking I was going to start teaching already. By the time this setting, I just changed it. It's the way it works. I'll be open to God's prayer. Okay, Matthew, are you here?
Yes, sir.
Matthew 1. If I what the person said was, I said, look, I said, what your pastor said, I said, person was short. I said, exactly the number of days I gave you guys on Sunday was what he said to his church. He said, we're going to do this at this time. There's some. I said, I didn't know what I said on Sunday. So when I spoke to Brother Tokes, he said, you know, it was just walking. That would be sensitive. So I said, teach bodies and prayer. That means there are things he wants people here. Let me say all of us. As a church, to get into. And he wants to set the tone. Are you here? Set the tone for it. So it's not just the teaching series, as much as what God is going to ask you. Are you here? So now we've been talking this. So I just skip the intro for the purpose of this teaching. I'm going to skip the intro. And I'm just going to talk about the fact that we have said so far that Matthew to John is equal to Genesis to Malachi. And I'll say this. I was teaching a class on, was it Monday? Was it Monday? I was teaching a class. And I told him that, look, it's a class for your pastor. So I was saying, look, that there's a whole lot of disconnect that has happened between the Old and New Testament that has robbed us of much. There are some experiences that we have lacked because we have sidetracked that connection between the Old and New Testament. And we have lacked it. In fact, I know people that teach that the New Testament is devoid of experiences that you don't need to have. Just believe the word and be waiting for Jesus to come and take you away. I say, what kind of... That theology is inappropriate. Because if you look at the book of Revelation, and you know that the book of Revelation is like the New Testament book of Daniel, as it were. And it is right there with rich experiences, visions and insights. And those who claim that Paul, when Paul died and the gifts of the Spirit are passed on and all that, would that kind of book of Revelation just throw them off? That disconnect has robbed us of a lot, because Bible interpretation is everything. You need to know how to interpret it properly. If you miss it at that point, you miss many things. So we have said that. So we looked at seven ways by which, of course, we have read Matthew and Mark, and Matthew 1:1, the book of the generation of Jesus Christ, the son of David, son of Abraham. And we said that the writer intends that we should go back to read the Old Testament books. It's doctrine to us. It's gospel to us. Hebrews 4:2, Matthew 28:20, teach them to observe all things I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always to the end of the age. Lo, I am with you. The word I am there is God's name in the Old Testament. So Jesus is identified as God. Mark 1:1. The beginning, of course, Matthew is the word Genesis. And then you have Mark 1:1, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, assumed by the prophets. And it goes to Malachi 3:1 and Isaiah 43. He uses the word beginning there, again, taking you back to the Old Testament. Mark 16:19, the Lord spoke to them, he was brought into heaven and sat at the right hand of God. And we said, right hand of God, Mark 16:19, is another name of God. When you say word of the Lord, presence of the Lord, right hand of God, they are all descriptions of his manifestation. Verse 20, and they went forth everywhere and preached, and the Lord walking with and confirming the word with signs following. So he uses the word Adonai of the Old Testament, or Yahweh, for Jesus. Luke's Gospel 1, verse 1 to 3, where Luke talks about how he gathered it through the ministers of the word and eyewitnesses, verse 2, and we said that Luke is having a Gentile audience, and he got his facts from people who were Jesus' commissioned witnesses. Luke 24, 25, or 27 precisely, begin at Moses and all the prophets, expound to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And we said, Luke again takes us back. Read backwards, okay? And verse 44, these are the words I spoke unto you while I was yet with you. Luke 24, that all things was fulfilled within the law of Moses, prophets, and Psalms concerning me. Then he opened the understanding for the five of them understand scriptures. So we said that it means you have to read the scriptures together. You don't isolate texts of scripture. You have to read them together. And then John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we said the Word there even though it's Greek logos, but it is an Hebrew word, dabar, which is the manifestation of God in the Old Testament. So Jesus is the word of the Lord in the Old Testament that was visible in the ages. They will say John 20:22, he breathed on and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. The word emphusal can be picked from Genesis 2:7, and seeing God was manifested there to Adam, and that is Jesus. Of course, we've also read John 5:39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, that they will testify of me. You will not come to me that you may have life. I will say Jesus is not just a prediction of the Old Testament, he is a personality, present participant in the Old Testament. So having said that, we also viewed, there was a, okay, I put a question here, what's the connection between the Old and New Testament? How connected is the Old and New Testament? Now, look, we said that there are seven ways to interpret a text. We've said already that the Bible itself is a text. So which means that segregation into chapters and verses may be counterproductive, where you are using it to interpret. You should not use verses to interpret. Use it for just reference. Your interpretation must be to read scriptures properly and appropriately, like a piece of literature. So I've said so far that we said seven things. What's the first one? Read it as a, I got, okay, yeah, you said it as a conversation. I just said that one recently. Read it as a what? Huh? I'm demonstrating it for you. As what? As the power of God. That's fair. That's fine enough. As what? If you are bold, stand up. Don't whisper. As what? Huh? As a text. Test, testimony, text. As a text, and it, as a conversation. We said, find out where the context of it, where did the conversation start from. So we started with just looking at the immediate text. We now said no, that there's actually an ongoing conversation in scripture, right? And so number two, we said, look for the grammatical structure, which means that just the same way the translations of today, King James, ESV, NIV, you know, that's the way they do their translations. You have it right, based on your audience, to also reconstruct it in a proper way that doesn't take away the intent of the writer, but communicates what he's saying appropriately. That's number two. Number three, we said the words are not as English as they appear. Look for the grammatical meaning. If you lose the meaning of the grammar, you might not know the meaning of what the speaker is saying. So number four, find out the text it's talking about. Many Bible texts are interpreting each other. You'll be surprised, for example, that there are things written about events that happened before the Exodus that are interpreting the Exodus. So, which shows that there is an intelligence behind the documentation of scripture that makes text interpret itself. Now, of course, the New Testament is interpreted by the Old Testament and vice versa, but primarily, see the Bible as interwoven. So we said, go to the text that is being interpreted and find the theology there. That's number five. Number six, we said, what is the New Testament application? Why do we say that? Now, I use New Testament, I call it colloquially, because that's what we call Matthew to Revelation. But anyway, the New Testament is closer to us in time. So, the application is close by. So we said now, number seven, what is today's application? Let's look at the text, as we often do. Luke's Gospel 14. Are you in church? Luke's Gospel 14. Verse 26. If any man should come to me and hate not his father and mother, his wife and children, brethren and sisters, yea, his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. Now today when we say hate, again, I hate you. What do you mean by that? Of course, look at the qualification, because we're going to see that in a couple of weeks. Father, mother, they're grouped together. Wife and children grouped together. Brothers and sisters grouped together. The only person that was not grouped is yourself. You are alone. Alright, so then he says to hate. Now, that word is the Greek word misio. M-I-S-E-O. It's from the same word you have misogynist, which is woman hater. You have misogamy, marriage hater, and misotheism, hater of God. Misogyny, marriage hater. Misogyny, women hater. Misogamy is marriage hater, someone that hates marriage. And misotheism. Now, someone that hates marriage is someone that is not married, though. It just means the person hates it. Then you have misotheism, hater of God. Now, because of this word, I mean, it's been a little bit confusing why a text will talk about hate. What was he referring to? Now, of course, the English doesn't appear as original as what we know. But there's an Hebrew background to what is being said. And you look at the Hebrew of that same word. The word sane is the Hebrew word for that hate. So Jesus is reading, I would have looked at the Aramaic, but let me spell. So the lesson is talking from the Greek. Hebrew. But Hebrew here is not far from the Aramaic that he used in speaking. Now, in Genesis 29, so as he said that they knew the text is talking about, Genesis 29, where you have Jacob had two wives, and they were sisters. So, verse 30. He went in also unto Rachel, that means sexual intercourse, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah. He loved Rachel, look at the background, more than Leah. And served with him yet another 7 years. This guy is really in love. That's 7 years to serve. He extended his contract. Man, you is looking for people like that now. Chelsea can even buy the late Maradona the way they are. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, notice what is called hated. Someone was loved more. He opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. So the word hate is greater. So anyone you hate is you love less than some. So it's a comparative word. Okay? Son, sane, S-A-N-E. Now, in Deuteronomy 21 and verse 15, I've heard someone preach this as a younger Christian, and he was just misunderstood it that day and said, the proof of salvation is that you will hate your parents. I said, why? So one brother in our fellowship, because I was his assistant, and I asked him, okay, what if my parents are born again? He said, does it matter? He just wants you to hate them. I mean, did I even know the English pattern to know the Greek? I didn't know anything. I just said, at the level of spiritual growth. When I get there, I'll have the capacity to hate. But right now, let me be doing the work I'm doing. I have to pay school fees. Because you have to start thinking about your consecration. It's Romans 21. So it's a comparative word, okay? And verse 15 to 16. The man has two wives. One is beloved, another hated. I mean, how could you match what you hate? One is beloved, most loved, much loved, another hated. And they have borne him children, both the beloved and the hated. That means eventually, I mean, he didn't hate her now, for him to born. Do you understand? So scriptures recognize, let me stop there. And if the firstborn son be hers that was hated, that is, normally you know, there is a firstborn inheritance. So if he's born, if the one that is loved less, right, now gives birth first, and it says, it shall be that when he makes his sons to inherit which he hath, he may not make the son of the beloved firstborn, because the son of the hated, which is indeed the firstborn. So again, that phrase is comparative. One is loved less than the other. I can say, no, I love you equally. God said, don't stress yourself. I know it's not so. Do you understand? So you have Exodus 20. So this will show you the meaning here. Exodus 20. You know, God knowing how men can, you know, this statement is taken directly about the one that has the first child, you know, is now the one that is lovely. Of course, this is a concubine, that is Agar. But you know, there can be a principle that, well, the first one is not the first, and they begin to look, so this is, look, make the first the first. That's the point that is being, that's the cryptic message that is here. So look at Exodus 20, verse 5. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them. Now what's the background? Verse 3, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, the earth beneath, or in water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down. So the context here is in idol worship. Worship themselves to them, nor serve them. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God. Jealous is passionate, okay? Jealousy, no. Visiting iniquity of the fathers upon the children on the third and fourth generation of them that, does it make sense? Love me less. So this comparison, that is, amongst other gods, you get it now? You love me less. It's a comparative word. Same Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 9. You have the same word in Malachi 1:3. I'll come to that one in a moment. Malachi 1:3. I hated Esau. Then verse 2, he yet loved Jacob. So I hated Esau meant that I had preference more for Jacob. Is that clear? Than Esau. So it's preference. Okay? Now, let me add this, because this is a very important element that I've heard, because I'm doing a work on this actually, so that's why I'm interested in talking about this. And in coming days, God will help us to just explain this more in the body of Christ. Malachi 2, verse 16. For the Lord thy God of Israel said he hates putting away. Now, some versions put divorce. I don't know why they did. Right? But it's to scare people. You get it? He hates divorce. You know? And the funny thing is that the word used here is, of course, not divorce. It's the word shalach. S-H-L-A-C-H. It means to send away or to put away. Yeah, it's applicable also to the marital institution, but that's not what he's talking about. The context here is a judgment on idol worship. Now, that means God has a judgment for sin. And you know that the first time you see this word that has now been used as divorce is shalach, to send away. Okay? I almost wanted to use another word there. That may work with today's language. You know, in Genesis 3:22, when it says, he drove Adam and Eve out of the garden. That's the same word, shalach. That he hates it. It's not his first choice. Do you understand? It's not his first choice. Now, people have brought this into marital institution. Fine. It has a secondary application. But what he's saying here is not marriage. Nope. That's no single context around it at all. Because what he's referring to, even though he uses, as it were, the marital variable, but he's referring to his covenant relationship with the nation of Israel. That's what he's referring to, and which is called marriage. And you see that, maybe I should just go there quickly. Jeremiah 31. It's his marriage he's talking about. And when you look at scriptures very well, marriage is always construed contextually, culturally. So, he's talking about his own culture. And he says here that in verse 32, I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them. They broke my covenant, but I was an husband unto them. Sometimes he calls Israel a hallowed nation. So, eighthly, he would prefer not to. Okay? That's the shalak. That's the context of what he's saying right there. Okay, so let's see something very direct to what Jesus was saying. Zerubbabel 33, which is most probable, definite, the text was referring to when he was talking about loving your father, mother, and all that. Zerubbabel 33, sorry. And verse 8. And Levi, he said, let your Urim and your Thummim be with thy Holy One, whom thou didst prove at Massah. That is, you proved something at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. We're going to go to that now. Something happened there. All right, let's go to that. Exodus 32. The background was that the children of Israel had built a molten calf, and they were so funny. And they said, they built the calf themselves. And he now said, this is the calf that rescued us from Egypt. How can you, I mean, like someone was saying today, I was going to post it later today on Facebook. Someone put it on Facebook and said, there's this guy, he got him born again, raised him up, taught him the word, did everything, ordained him to ministry. I forgot different things, you know, brought him practically up. He officiated his wedding, did everything. The guy now started a church. He helped him start the church. Then I asked the guy, who is your spiritual father? He mentioned another preacher. Ah, somebody I had never seen nor heard about. What about that other guy? He said, you know, we used to fellowship together. And how can you talk like that? I mean, so I said, I've had the experience before. It can be so, ah. Somebody met someone that I mentored and said, how, do you know this person? Yeah. So you say, ah. We used to do ministry together. We're in the same ministry. I said, go and ask the person who founded the ministry. The ministry is Christian. No, you can't ministry. We're in the same ministry together. That, you know, we were fellowship. I said, ah. How will you say? I said, how can you make a statement? I said, I got the person saved though. I said, eh? I said, ah, oh. Ask, I said, go and ask the person. Who called you to ministry? If she mentions God, that is me. I said, how can you say something like that? And it's not good. Somebody has done well for you. I said, so, I'm trying not to say something, but I'll say it. I said, you might meet some guy, one fine girl. He said, they are the best thing that ever happened to me. And your parents are looking at you. I didn't know purpose till I met you. Ha! Shego. But no, the reason why they will not talk is because they know what's happening to you. You are drunk. I said, ah! What are you talking about? That, you know, it was like I was going nowhere. After they trained you to master's level. And you were going nowhere. Ifeburu. Love is serious. So these guys, they created the calf themselves. They said, this is the calf that got us out of Egypt. You know? It had to be God that did it. Because that's the only person that can just do what he did. Me, I'll say, ah, what's happening? Is it a skit? You know, look at what now happened. Let's see quickly. Verse 26. He said then, look at when Moses now said, who is on the Lord's side? 26. Let him come to me. And all the sons of Levi gathered themselves together with him. The others took sides with the idols. And said to them, thus said the Lord God of Israel, put every man's sword by his side. And slay every man his brother, every man his companion, every man his neighbor. And sure of Levi did according to the word of Moses, and there fell of the people 3,000. So look at, there was the comment. In Proverbs 33. He says, you proved it. Verse 9. Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him. Neither did he acknowledge his brethren, for knew his own children. For they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. That's what he's talking about. It's tough. What he's talking about. Where you don't worship such relationships. You don't worship such relationships. So, this is the immediate context of what he was talking about. Matthew 10:37. Are you in church? I know you are quiet. I said, on top of what? Father, December. He that loves father or mother more than me. So Matthew puts it properly. More than me is not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. He that takes not his cross, 38, and follows after me is not worthy of me. The context of this is still the same place. Now, I looked at the Greek of this, which is the Septuagint. It's obviously the Bible of Jesus. And I saw that Jesus was referring to this Romans 6:14. And I'll read it because the Greek word here is ekomai opizo ego. Ekomai is, you know, follow after, take up and follow me. Ekomai opizo ego. That is E-R-C-H-O-M-A-I, O-P-I-S-O or O-P-I-Z-O, then E-G-O. Now, you find those words, that combination, in Jeremiah 6 and 14. Now, if you know Jeremiah very well, the context is still the same thing, idol worship. Worship of other gods. Then he says here, do not walk after other gods from the peoples that surround you. Don't walk after the word ekomai opizo ego. Then Deuteronomy 13 and 4. 13 and 4. You shall go after the Lord your God. That is, you will not go after the idols. You will go after the Lord your God. So basically we see that there is much of the Old Testament in the New Testament. There's so much. It dominates it. That is the context of what he was saying. So when he says to hate your father or mother, he's basically saying, don't worship those relationships. Only the Lord your God would you worship. That's what he's basically talking about. Of course, when you look at the Exodus story, I look at their immediate culture of rejection, the culture of idols. What do idols want? You know, and you understand why there was physical warfare. Like I said to people, sometimes you put their world to your world because it's not the same thing. So, that was what he was referring to in that phrase. So when we say that, you look at the conversation, what Jesus was talking about, we went back to that far, and then you look at what's the grammatical meaning. Which Old Testament text is referring to. And so this brings it all together. So last week we began to look at the bonds and prayer. And, you know, notice again that we picked our theme from the Old Testament. For those who just came in, I was talking about something before you got in. I'll just repeat myself again. That, you know, like we said last week, there's a written word when it comes to prayer points. And we must follow the written word. But the written word also teaches where we are stirred up by the Spirit to pray. I am stirred up by the Spirit. And I'm telling you this because a good number of us, that's what's going on in us now. Are being stirred. And it's not prayer as usual. It's not the normal prayer. If you are still doing, wake up in the morning and pray, you are not getting what we're talking about. If you are still doing just prayer chain, you don't get it. I'm talking about being stirred. Different times of the day. Different night times. You are stirred. What we do in the next few weeks, few months, will determine what will happen to our ministry in the next few years. If you miss that moment, and you think it's about going for WCC, you've lost it. WCC is a part of it, oh yes. But you miss this time. And you miss it. In fact, let me quote what the person said in the meeting, and you notice that I've been saying it. He said that there's just something odd about this recent thrust about young people just leaving the country. Said there's something about it. And he now said, if you have made any plans in the next 30 days, if you listen to me on Sunday, you have said this. No, I said this last Sunday. He said, go and start fasting and praying. Don't do anything. Nothing. Just set this on motion. So if you get it at this point, Pastor is just saying that you don't miss my prayer chain. In 5 years, you may not even want 2 years, you will see the result of not listening to what I said tonight. You will see it. So, the point is, you need to get a hold of this now. Create the time. No matter what you are doing, create the time. There are some things I would have said if this was a leader's meeting. And they wouldn't think you are saying, because there's some, you know, something where you say, who would say, you know, is it like this? I remember someone told me this. We're starting the walk then. And he said, you know, I have to go. Was what I was supposed to do. I said, and we're walking. I said, I can't. He said, Shegun, it's just 1 year. The way he said it, he said, 1 year. I said, 1 year. He said, just 1 year. You get back and do these things. You know, he didn't understand the urgency of this. I said, 1 year. I said, no. I said, 1 year, no. And that's it. Those are arrogance. Say, just 1 year. Arrogance. And he said, God will wait for you. Go and do your thing. When you are done, let me know. It doesn't work like that. So, are you with me? Mm-hmm. Now, look at Genesis 3. You know, we did a connection last week as to the curse, as we call it, of Genesis 3, 15 to 17. You remember? And Noah, can you remember? Okay, now listen to this. I know we've done this teaching on 1 Timothy 2, 15. She shall be saved by childbearing, right? Aha. And we said that it's referring to the same Genesis 3, 15. Can you remember that? Now, listen to this. So, which means that the burden of redemption, because redemption is God's plan for the earth, new creation. The burden of redemption, I need your attention 100% here. The burden of redemption of God's plan has been equated to labor pangs. Labor, that is, the labor pangs of a pregnant woman. And which means that for all of us in ministry, and we are all, amen? There is, and if it's your fellowship, your cell, your church, there is that period where you are incubating. And then, you know, the carefulness is at that point, some of us just, we have a, where you still bath, or you have, and that's what Isaiah was saying. You just lose it. You just think it's a normal period. And just, you know, and redemption is tied to it. The seed of the woman, the seed of the serpent. He now says in 16, there will be sorrow in conception. I've said the word conception is childbirth. There's no sorrow in conception. And then he said the same thing to the man about the same sorrow. Now, we said last week that the same thing was now said about watch this. So that you will know that it is not referring to that he's talking about when you are born again, you don't have to have labor pangs. That's not what he's talking about. It's just the illustration used. Now, in Genesis 5, when Noah was born, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and the toil. That's the same Hebrew word. It will bring comfort. He will bring relief. That is, he will birth God's process. Can you see why the birth narrative is used in God's plan? You can't talk about birth and have no conception. You can't talk about conception and not talk about labor. So he says, Noah, and you know, Noah birthed God's purpose for 120 years. You can say, well, great evangelism. 120 years. Birthing God's mission in the earth. And so, He was called Noach. Noach, which means comfort or rest place, pardon me. God's rest place. So look at John 16. Are you with me here? Are you with me here? John 16. Verse 20. You shall weep and lament, and the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, and your soul shall be turned to joy. A woman, when she's in trouble, had sorrow, because her hour is come. As soon as she's delivered of the child, she remembers no more the anguish for a joy that a man is born into the world. This is Genesis 3:15-16. So, we have looked at this in an earlier series on the leading of the Spirit. We looked at the birth pangs motive of Scripture. Isaiah 13, let's run through it. We are talking about burdens and prayer. So you know that the burdens we are referring to here, they are painful. Prayer burden is just a prayer in tongues. It's like, it's not the length. There's the length, though. Right? The length of it. No, but prayer burden is not if I just pray for 3 hours. That's it. No. No. Look at this. Isaiah 13. Are you in church? Isaiah 13 and verse 8. Pangs and sorrows shall take hold of them. They shall be in pain as a woman has travail. And this depicts judgment. Isaiah 21 verse 3. My loins are filled with pain. Pangs have taken a hold upon me. As the pangs of a woman that travails about at the hearing of it, I was dismayed at the hearing of it. The burden, a vision from God, brings birth pangs. I talked to somebody who just started the fellowship. I said, and the person was saying, Pastor, you know, we're the area we're doing the ministry. And I said, are you done? Don't you understand that this is a prayer burden? This is not, I know, because of certain things that people have said, this is what ministry is like. Just get one fellow was telling me, said, I'm starting church. I said, I don't know what's happening. Said, people are not coming. I said, what do you mean by that? Are people rapture? He said, no, sir. So what's going on? He said, you know, the money, you want to get equipment. And he said all those things. I said, that's what you want to do. I said, what about praying? One young man too, younger than I am, was going to start a church. So I said, what's the plan? He said, how, sir? So I just go on social media and talk about it. I said, no. What's the plan of praying? He said, that's you. He told me, and he calls me his pastor. I said, that's you, sir. He said, you have that old method. I said, no, the way God deals with me, I just talk it on social media, when I talk about it, then people will come. I said, no. That what I learned, which I read, right, from Kenneth, he said, he was laughing. I said, spend time. That what I was, what I'm going to say, 18 months. Said, is that it? I know, sir. Said, I'll do a program. I said, no, 18 months. Just fasting and pray. And just said, now started the thing. The thing now had problem. You know, I was grumbling and complaining. I said, the reason why it had problem is not because you didn't pray. Ministry has challenges. That's not because you didn't pray. The reason why you gave up is because you didn't pray. Do you understand that? Except people that are selling lollipop in church. You have to, it's spiritual, you get to an area and everybody is into drugs. And you say, all you just want to do is to say the context, the Septuagint. You see, that's all you're going to do, the Septuagint. You say, just give them Living World Media, the job is done. Ask the person preaching Living World Media whether that's how he gets the job done. Say, just get there. I say, as well, just get there. I'll just engage them. And I'll just be telling them that, you see, you don't know the word. You know, when you are saved forever, God is saved forever. And they are just excited for 1-2 months. After a while, they stop coming. You knock their door. And their door is knocking you back. Go back. He said, go back. Someone that has been following you before just says, I'm not coming to that church again. Do you have to come? You know, because you said that was going to happen. At some point, the guys in Jesus' church, I'm talking about, they just say, we are not coming again. Down six. He looked at the other ones who are the pastor's seat. He said, what are you guys doing here? He said, well, to which shall we go? We've left all. To follow you. But he knew his mission. Not jitters. He was like, this is what do I do now, pastor? You know, and if the one himself complained, he said, you know this one is not praying. You are not praying. You can't be praying and you say, I prayed, you are not praying. The moment you say, I have prayed, you are not praying. I prayed, sir. I fasted. And maybe it's just this logical prayer. Just this. Just as I say, maybe it's a, what do you call this? Mechanical. Glory, 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 glory. You are looking at the ritual, too. A woman in labor, you say, please, 30 minutes new. So I say, it's 30 minutes, oh. I cannot labor beyond 10 minutes. Okay, no problem. Whatever you get. You say, that means you have to look at this one. The fact that you have to look at this one means that's not what we're talking about. The fact that you won't stop until the process is complete. And when the process is complete, because the work has to grow, another one starts. Are you with me? But how would you pray like this? When you have been told that, just confess some scriptures, give thanks, raise your hands, the job is done. Someone posted one song and was asking me a question. And he posted it on Facebook. You know, these people do Facebook a lot. Put it on Facebook. They said, we will never know defeat. That song, rest into your church. And the person came inbox to be asking me, sir, what do I do? I said, but you just posted, we'll never know defeat. I said, if you can just listen to your own, the songs you just posted, put it on your WhatsApp. He said, what can I do? I'm just this one, and this one's happening. It's just this. When we gather some people, they will gather somewhere again. And so I said, but you said you will never know defeat. So it's just, you never know defeat. That's why if you are not someone giving to worship, that is you sincerely on your own raise your hands. When you come to church, is the music you listen to? Because you don't do it on your own. So it's just the music. You can even have favorite worship leaders. That's a 6 verse 16. Like a woman with child, draws near the time of delivery is being cried. We have been in thy sight, O God. We have been with child. That narrative is when God's purpose are being birthed. Isaiah 42 verse 14. Let me read the other ones that come to a critical one. Jeremiah 4:31. Jeremiah 6:24. Jeremiah 13:21. Jeremiah 22:23. Jeremiah 49:22-24. Jeremiah 50:43. Micah 4:9-10. I'll take it all over again. Isaiah 42:14. Jeremiah 4:31. Jeremiah 6:24. Jeremiah 13:21. Jeremiah 22:23. Jeremiah 49:22-24. Jeremiah 50:43. Micah 4:9-10. So they all picked it. That if God is going to do anything there, the first thing is that there's a conflict between the seed of the serpent and the seed of the woman. You can never, as a Christian, see, there's one Christian song, the Yoruba song. He said, Christian, that is, don't look for rest. A Christian does not look for an ease-free Christian. It doesn't exist. You have to keep it. He said, I put everything in your seed and our seed. To bruise your seed. That is what God is going to be doing in the earth. So they picked it on when we are in Babylon, when we are in captivity, and we hear God's word, and we hear the prophecy, they knew it's time to labor. Because its birth, its process on earth is like giving birth. It's time to labor. It's time, they know it. Remember 1998, we just put together Faith Family Network. So I brought folks together, where at one Four Square Church, there's a couple of girls were there, Pastor La was there that day. So we're just talking about Fortress Mission. So she took over Fortress Mission then. So we were talking about the ministry, Faith Family Network, Campus Bible Faith Conference, CBFC. Guys, you know, they're just excited. Network. That thing was, you know, because we move from Faith Outreach to Faith Family Faith Network. Network. A new name, Network. Say, yeah. And we said, we're going to do this one. I said, yes. So they were all excited. I remember, you know, we went for one outreach, we call it storm. Everybody went, woo! So we were excited, I said, wow. Supervisors were moving. You know, people were giving utterances. So they now asked me why I was not excited. I said, this is not excitement. Say, you know, Pastor, I'm just excited at what God is doing in the earth. Ah. I said, this calls for much more than excitement. I said, if we don't understand what is going on here, all of us here will not be present when this thing is going to be fulfilled. I told them. I said, I didn't learn ministry this way. When God says to do something, the first thing is prayer. Are you following what I'm saying? The honest truth is that what I said came to pass. It says fasting. Fasting and prayer. You go, you don't change it. At all. So look at Isaiah 66, the one I wanted to read. So birth pangs, when God sets you on a motion, particularly when you are pioneering something, you are starting something, you are taking over something, you are about to birth something. And God, you know, we said that Genesis is in plural. God is doing something new, he's doing something new. I told them, I read that on Sunday, I said what I can tell everybody. I told what I can tell them. And what I told them, I believe they are smart. I said the way we are going to go about it. The devil will not know that's what we are thinking. Because I'm going to be doing something else outside. And you will know. Because we need to understand the devil. We can limit our problems. Enough of this word of wisdom from the Lord at 14 p.m. No. Let's just let him think that we are doing something else. Let's be talking EPL. So you say, yeah. This guy, I don't know what that is. Well, here we are. We are walking something behind the scene. You won't get what's going on. Just that. I know you're not with my presence. And you don't follow me around. There's some believers, he follows them. That's why we will not even tell them what we're saying. We just keep quiet and say, what's God saying? For God so loved the world. That he gave me, the one everybody can read. That's how we'll tell you that God has told us that we are going to reach this side of people. A part of them is going to say, wow, glory. Then just go on Twitter. You know God? God is doing something. I say, oh, now come there and say, you need to start again. You need to search people. You begin to... Then he walk on the place. The guy will just get angry. Are you abusing my God. So, you don't commit all things to people that talk too much. So that's what I said. I told them, look, how did the disciples keep the information that Jesus was raised from the dead for how long? They kept quiet. It was today, just I said, body, paddy, this one our top gist. Jesus is alive. But now, don't tell anybody. They say, Jesus says, do you know what my paddy just told me? But he said, I did not tell anybody. Jesus raised from the dead. So that's how someone was saying, So you don't go to the house of Pilate. You go for dinner, because that's where people like go to. And he's going to have lunch or with his MD. The MD is a part of Herod's caucus. Say, let's go to him. I say, we're there with that Jesus. You give your life to Christ, so? You ask, which guy is there? He's not dead! So what do you mean by not dead? Jesus that I know is alive. Peter saw him. Which Peter? <You get it? laughs> So, what kind of discipline did they have? They kept quiet. They were going home, coming back. How did you go? The brethren were glad. Amen. Say, okay. That's all. Okay. So, which church are you going to now? Where we see that church that the pastor said, we're just said, time is your journey to enjoy power from on high. I know those guys also can misunderstand information. He was talking about John and Peter, and they said, it means he's not going to die. Is this kind of people that they have to wait for Holy Ghost? You have to wait. Are you with me? I hope you are learning something. Isaiah 66. When he says things, you determine it. You go the long haul. Are you here? You go the long haul. Isaiah 66, verse 7. Before she travails, she brought forth. Before her pain came, she was a man child. Who had heard such a thing? Who has since things shall the earth be made to bring forth in the one day? Shall the nation be born at once? As soon as Zion travails, she brought forth her children. This is about global evangelism. Shall I bring it to the birth and not cause to bring forth? Said the Lord. Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb? And it goes on and on about the same thing. Up to verse 14. You won't see the joy till you first see the sorrow. You can't see it. You won't see it. There was one sister like that. She was starting ministry. She told me a few weeks ago. She said, well, Pastor, some of the things you said to us when we were in school. She said, now, this was in 1998. She said, now, it's so clear to me. She told me God had laid the body in her heart. She came to my room in school. I said, okay, that I'll just give you this advice. I said, two things you must do. You must be deep in prayer and supplication. And for now, don't get the distraction of relationships. She said, Mike, never. You know, people talk like, you are a fine girl. How can I say Mike? That's all lies. I mean, I know, sir. There's not even in my head. I said, I'm repeating myself. So they had one program. I preached there. Before they started the program, we're walking. I just headed to say to them, well, it was in the evening. I said, guys, this meeting is going to be glorious. Say, yes, sir. I said, well, watch what I'm about to say. If we don't get this thing right, and we don't obey God, this will be our last program. They laughed and said, no, we're like five. As soon as we finish that program, that's where I met you now. You know the program I'm talking about. She knows the story. I'm saying, yes, yes. I called her name by word of knowledge. So as the program was blessed, it's the evening. That is that I said, there's nothing. That were hooked. They just put the fish hook. Pop! So I kept crying. You know, there I was. I used to talk. I would just say what I said. I told you, that would be the last of that program. They laughed. When they heard, I said, they laughed. They tried to do the program. Except they do it tomorrow. I said, it's the last one. I wasn't tricky. I said, this is what God told me. And he told them, you don't marry you. In fact, you know what, Jatuka? Adani? Fought badly. Said, I warned you. Something doesn't mean they won't marry, they shouldn't marry you. I said, this is something, God is birthing something in you. This is not the time for this. This is the time for fasting and prayer. You had a program, you were so blessed. Everybody was, because the way the program was before, there was an opposition to the program. The guy was shaking. He was really shaking. He was supposed to host the program. So he now came to me. They now picked a venue. That venue, when they saw my name on the flyer, they canceled it. It's been a while, though. They said, that heretic. Did I say hello? He thinks he knows everything. So they canceled the program. When he came to me, he was shaking. He said, Roshaku, they've canceled the program. I told you. So I just walked out, Wale. I said, Wale, go and get this other venue. He went, he said, relax. You know, he's shaking because he has never seen it before. You have seen it. Those are the times, take this off the tape, you start singing some song. He jangla, lango po, nincha. Osho, li emura ogun, aje li emura ogun, emire li emura ogun, jesu lo lo ri ogun, wa wa. At that point, you start fasting. That's not the time you start saying, you not dieting, oh. You are praying and you are seeing visions. This one, this ministry will beg. What are you talking about? I said, don't worry, fix another place, we fix the venue. We're arranging. The guy came. He now started teaching one doctrine. One deep doctrine. As I saw him, I just said, what's this guy preaching? In a Holy Ghost meeting. I said, what am I going to do for him? I just told my friend, I said, I'll just put him under the power. So I think about the meeting. That's what I did. Well, go. No. I said, this is for me. And we're done. So I told him, I said, this thing is supposed to be multiplied across the place. But if you don't listen to what I said, that's it. After such a meeting, don't say, don't be celebrating it. Ask your pastor and tell them, there's nothing to celebrate about camp meeting. It's gone. It's gone. You don't say, wow, what a camp meeting. Wow. That's what you'll be saying the next thing on Netflix. What a camp meeting. Wow. You there?
I said, no, you leave the place, you set the agenda straight away.
In the month of so-and-so, I'm going to do this, I'm going to, and you begin next day.
You know, after such meetings, when you want to rest, say, I want to rest, resting in my house.
The same way, you go out for 5 glorious days. Let's rest from the work. So you enter your rest place.
Are you following what I'm saying here?
I said, it's time to pray.
I told my friends the same thing. I said, guys, there's something we have to set in motion. You can't miss it in prayer. Oh. You can't. Just begin to pray in tongues. So that is this, you won't say nonsense. Begin to pray. You will catch something along the line. Because you are starting a work. And you have time to be... Say, this is not the time. You are getting to a distraction. At this time, no. As soon as Zion began to travail. So I said here, I said, redemption travails in prayer. I'm telling you. The coming days are days of travail. Yeah. I can't stay up late at night. Better drop that nonsense. I can't stay up late at night. Drop that nonsense. Drop the nonsense. How can I say can't stay up late at night? When there was one area like that, they said that hoodlums were coming every day. Those that said they don't do VG. Everybody join vigilante? Is that walking up and down? I told him, brother, so I don't attend VG. This one is our life. How do you mean I can't stay up late at night? What kind of nonsense is that? Is that? So let's go and pray. If God says something in motion, it's prayer. Start planning. Start. You know, I remember in 1995, I write plans like that. If you have seen my notes before, I write my plan. So I used to write this plan. I'll say this is the ministry. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. Many things we are doing today. Some. Sorry. There are still many that are not yet done. They will be done. And I put it together. So I went to, I was going to Ibadan. So I went, I was at that Texaco filling station. So I put my bag there. I had this diary. Wrote all the plans. This one. In June. This one. I was planning like that. As soon as I got to the, and I put money there in the bag. Traveler's bag. A travel bag. So as I just went, I don't know what I went to buy. As I came back, the bag was still there, I went to the bus. So I got to Ibadan, I checked the money. The money was there. Only the diary was taken. And the Lord said to me, he said, I deliberately had that thing leave you so that you stop worshipping your plans. So I said, Lord, that's why I stopped for years. I stopped writing plans for ministry. I don't do it. Just let's pray it out. As we are going along, I'm sure the wisdom will come. Then the plans will flow from prayer. Are you following what I'm saying? To flow from prayer. Some people will sit down. They said, don't worry, when I get to, someone told me, he said, he's a minister of the gospel. Well, I just done something. I said, when I get to UK, I will not go to America. I sat down. I said, in all your conversation, this is how I know your trip is not of God. In all your conversation, I said, what about church? I said, I'm just thinking. It's true. I'm just thinking. A pastor. I'm just thinking. And when I'm done, I'll not there. I say, Before you even get the visa, you should have spent quality time traveling. Lord, this is your will. Tell me where I'm going. Tell me why I'm going. Why am I going? Don't let me get lost. You don't get there before you know it. The first thing we know that you are in UK, you have changed your hairstyle. The hairstyle you should do like my own, that sees God. You now start this one, say, you know, that's a, before you know it, you start saying that you went to some event, and you know, because you did not ask, Lord, why am I going? What am I going to do? Why am I going? You didn't ask. You know, you can also ask, Lord, this company I want to join, why? It's not wrong. Say, Lord, tell me, what is there? Why do you want me to change? Because you are a pastor. You are a woman of God. You are a man of God. You didn't even ask. There was one guy like that. I called him. I said, look, Oga. I said, you know better than this. Say, I do. I said, we purposely did not pray about this thing. I've seen it before. You just don't pray about it. You didn't pray about it. Because you want to get this agenda done. Say, pray. Pray about it. You're a man of God. If God is setting something to do in the earth, it gets meant to be. Zechariah 12:10. Zechariah 12:10 is actually my text for tonight. Are you ready? Burdens and prayer. A fellow of mine told me he wanted to do this one. I've let him finish. I said, look at me very well. I know how to plan. I know how to do what you are saying. I go, I said, but you know something? You won't miss it in prayer. I learned it from Kenneth Hagin. You see, he will set you praying years before. But Tops told me something. There's a particular thing that happened in UI. In fact, let me tell you how important the move of God was in that period. Years after, people used to do program and they would say, reawakening that revival. And there was just one person, major that God used. He had just entered the school and something broke out in the whole campus. I heard about it. So he used to talk about it. He said, the Lord just told him, as he was just getting to school, so and so period. Spend that. God will just interrupt the schedule. Next 5 days, fast and pray. Don't go out. He was birthing something. And that move, many ministers were raised. Many of them are ministry today. Many. Some of them did not even give him that glory because he was a young boy. But everybody knew. I'm talking about cult leaders, people. I mean, it was all over the place. He said, God just told him, start praying. We just wake him up. Yeah, 5 days. Faster. Stay home. Don't go out. He was a teenager. He said, don't go out. Do this one. Do that one. And that move has birthed many people today. People still talk about it after over 30 years. No. Yeah. 30 years. I told him, say God. And then the move of God was so strong. In birthdays, some of you don't get, you don't know this period. Birthdays was fellowship, was in revival. Birthdays. So I know when I'm talking about my birthday, and I say someone was saying, you're looking at what I'm talking about. No, today, birthday, you just say, I want to appreciate the life of my pastor. And who now do it? No. Birthdays. Remember one guy, Bimbo Lawanson. On his birthday, they now brought boys, hugging guys. And I told boys, I said, come. That birthday, we're going to touch the river. I said, those guys, they don't like you. I said, we're going to pray. So I'm going to pray. So yeah, I said, they're going to plan to do something. I said, don't worry. So what did you do? I said, no, he wanted me to preach because it was a new convert. And he had all those boys. I said, don't worry. Let's pray. It was 1995. We prayed. People drop food to get born again. I said, let us just pray. That threat is a prayer body. Satan knows what's going to happen. So he throws some message. You need to think, what am I going to do? What am I going to do? You have not prayed, though. You are not analyzing. And maybe we should not do it, though. Maybe we should just share food. No, pray. He will scatter the plans. There was something this man told me. Was it Mike Franson? He said that they had planned something for them. I think it was Brazil or Argentina. So they had brought. So Lord just said, you just go and pray. Why does God ask us to pray? He just going to pray. And he began to pray. Said they got to the crusade field. They had hired some guys to go and attack the crusade field. Those guys just stood. As the power of God was in the demonstration, they went to meet those who hired them. Don't threaten those guys again. Or we are going to deal with you. They are of God. You are not of God. That's prayer. That's what prayer does. There was one time like that. You know, those are the kind of manifestations we are going to see. There was a time like that. We were busy. There was a time, was it this boy, Tony? That they went where RWC 2005. No, just told you that guy. He went to a town. They said they were going to call somebody to come and hit him. The guy is there. Major, was it that near Badagry? The guy was there. Juju man. Said the guy could not see. WC that we have prayed. How? The guy just couldn't see. They now have to call him to lay hands on there so they can see. But you just go there. You say, you want to hurt me? I'll call police. Are you one of us talking about here? That's right. So, are we here? He's setting our hearts. I know you that God is plotting your hearts. Plotting, I do. Have you? I know you now. Ah, God is telling something in you. You know. What I'm preaching now, you have been looking for this answer. I know. You've been, you know, Satan, you see, the moment you don't fill that void with knowledge, Satan will make you be doing something else. You think you got it? No, this is it. You've been thinking, you've been uncomfortable. This is it. He's going to do something through you. In your different churches, your different ministries, something is birthing something. And sorry about us that when God, see, God, sometimes, we over-celebrate. God is taking us to a very far place. Then he's, then we just like we break forth and somehow we just go, oh yeah, thank God. No! I read one book years ago. Why Bible Tire? You know, Robin Hill. I read it. It's a small boy. Ah! That will tire. You just become lethargic. Suddenly you find you that used to be the word. You are talking about the word. Prayer. You just start feeling bored about church. Pastor is saying the same thing. We are going for the same thing. You need a personal revival. It's not growth, though. You need the teachings that used to stir you up. I just want to hear just before you say I do. That's what I need now. You know, there's something wrong. Now, of course, you should hear that for wisdom also in that book. But you say, why are you suddenly hungry for this? Because the hunger for spiritual growth does not change. The appetite does not change. Have you observed that when that happens, you start having new friends? And there's the way the devil plans. When he sees those things, he knows that he sees what you play on your phone. He sees what you listen to in your car. He sees the people you start. He now arrange guys for you. A new team. Somebody will just call you from nowhere. Somebody you have not been talking to for years just reach out to you. You are just talking. You are comfortable and all that. And distracts you. Then the things you should desire for, you just have feeling. Somebody just read one post that when it's time to do something new, you feel uncomfortable with the old order. I know this, you know, that's counterfeit. Meanwhile, the something new was something spiritual. Just a new friends. You just don't see, you may not even see a problem again in marrying an unbeliever, male or female. You just go, it's not really an unbeliever. Someone told me, he said, you know, it's not impossible for him. He has good virtues. She has good virtues. You know, I said, bro, when did this happen to you? Why did this happen to you? So, I know you won't get a counterfeit. You won't. This is a call from the Spirit. Are we here? Zechariah 12:10. I will pour upon the house of David, upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem. What? The spirit of grace. Say, I have it. The spirit of grace and supplication. There was someone I told. The person had abandoned ministry, but thank God we rescued him. And I said, you know something? Do you know why this happened to you? There was a time. When God pours that grace on you, you will become, you may even become sad. It's not like glory, glory, no. You just become sad. It's not because you have sinned. It's not because you have done something wrong. There's something wrong somewhere he wants to use you to correct. So he will share the burden with you. So, I said that's what happened. When you missed it at that point, the left is junk. But you know, you start fighting your pastors, start arguing, you know, you start feeling uncomfortable, you start thinking it's extreme to pray, it's extreme to do this one, it's extreme to this one. You miss something.
Look at that spirit. Look at it. Spirit of grace application. He said, they will look upon me, whom they have pressed, and they shall mourn for him, as one who mourned for his only son, and shall be bitterness for him. This is by the Holy Ghost, though. And shall one shall be bitterness for his firstborn. In that day there shall be a great mourning in Jerusalem, as the mourning of and a grim mourn in the valley of Megiddo. Now look at the results. Right? Chapter 13, verse 1. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David, habitat of Jerusalem, for sin and for uncleanness. He begins to cleanse. Something has been poured upon you. And that is the grace of God upon us in this country. We are not complaining. We are praying. But the young people, we are praying. So I'm surprised when churches are talking about government. What is government? How? How? We don't need the government to change the society. We are in government. By the power of the Holy Spirit. We are in government. Spirit of grace and supplication is poured upon us. God said, Abraham, I need Kanti Dadu. Abraham, something has gone wrong. I have to tell you. Why is he telling him? When God tells you and shows you a condition, he wants you to pray. He wants you to pray. When he shows you, he wants you to pray. That's what he wants you to do. And the people that, they will have gone astray. I told the one story the other time, I just saw this lady. She was in labor. No, she was pregnant. So I told two people with me, I said, this is what the devil has planned. But we're going to do something. We're going to pray. I saw it. I said, we're going to just pray. That we'll pray. That I have confidence. If we labor on this matter, this person's life will preserve. The person is not a pastor. One of you that pray for the person, no longer a pastor. May I not be a signboard? You have to pray. So it's time to pray for this person. And the way the Spirit of God does it, the moment Shekum misses it, he gives it to Lara. That's why I was telling you that you will be surprised that people don't have knowledge of the word like you do. But they will be carrying out God's mission on earth because they can pray. I went to a man of God's house. When God, and you know, we speaking, he gave the prayer to enter his room. The man physically could not see, as we think. Me, I was so tired, because I had come back from one meeting, he also went to preach. When we were done, he told me to go and sleep. I was looking at the man, he was going out to go and pray. Okay? They cannot live without it. You can't live without it. But today, with our phones, we're always on it. You want to talk to someone? Someone wants to talk to you. You want to talk to someone? And then so, boy, you know, you are just praying as you are going. So, you know, really, there's no body. There's no woman who is in labor ward that is starting. Honey? Ah, the boy is coming. You'll be hearing shouting. Because something is about to be birthed. And God said, that sign is a sign of redemption in the spirit. So this is not tea and butter prayer. Luke 22:44. Jesus was praying in agony. Did you not see it? The Bible says Luke 22:44. His blood, and that Greek word there, agonia, is in agony. Is in agony. That word is in Philippians 1:30. Conflict. Colossians 2:1, conflict. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, contention. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. 2 Timothy 4:7, I fought the good fight. Hebrews 12:1, run the race set before you. Philippians 1:30, Colossians 2:1, 1 Thessalonians 2:2, same word. 1 Timothy 6:12, 2 Timothy 4:7. He's struggling. Now watch this. Who did we read was struggling? Who? Jacob. Why? God was going to birth a nation.
He said, you'll be called Israel. You are here tonight because of that purpose. It's going to take struggle, but it's going to bat the nations with you. It's going to bat nations. And you will have to be ready for the bath pangs. And I know by the Spirit of God, you will not have still bath. Because some people have had it. They will start and they will end. Ah, it's too much. Oh, it's remove this child. It's too hard. It's too this one. Ah, don't watch it. Ah, ah. I thought the ministry just do flyer and all that. So when the brethren were saying all they were saying, we began all the churches. Hear what I'm about to say. We started out. And gradually, because they didn't hear what I was saying, all the people in the pastorate, they were just fighting from where, from nowhere. Ah. I told someone, I said, we're just going to pray it out. See, this thing that we're saying is going to come to pass. They now got to a point, I was the only one left. I said, no problem. I can pray. One single man can pray. Right? Eh, I can pray. I just used to have to pray. So I said to him, I said, I'm going to fast and pray. If I went to a place in UCH then, I used to go. I'll stay there. Morning to night, I'll stay there, go to ABH, and just go and change. So that they will resume. I'll come out again. And I did it for 2 weeks. Just go. Morning to night, pray, go back to change, rest, come back. Say this one, we'll back it. Ah. Say this, please. You know how to pray. How will pray now? So you have to pray. You're starting something. You're just, it's a spiritual warfare. You want to snatch people from the hands of the devil. And you are eating like the world is coming to an end. How do you want to do it? It was incomplete. Jacob was birthing a nation. Said, you are a prince with God and you have great power. Your name shall no longer be Jacob or Israel. Who is Jesus called? He's called Israel. God birthed his purpose in conflict. So Jesus in the garden is there again, agonizing. John 17 gives us the wordings. He's agonizing. He's laboring. I put it here. Say you have cries, tears, moanings, till the man is born. Brother Hagin said this in the book I was reading, Out of Supplication, Out of Prayer now. He said, there are many conversions and little birth. Many conversions. Before you know it, say, I'm not a Christian. Before you know it, so I told someone, I said, well, someone said, but there are some people that are like, they've gone back to the world. I said, some were never born again. Because they were produced not out of prayer. They were produced by good speaking, programs, solving their life's challenges. But they were not birthed. There was no encounter with God's Spirit. I said, there is no way you can have people birthed without prayer. You can't have it. You can't get it. It can't happen. It has to come by prayer. Remember when we were going to do dynamics meetings? I called the guys. This was 1995, before. Was it four? I called them. I said, guys, you know what we're going to do? Say, let's go, let's, but maybe I was just going to preach. I said, no. I'll set you up fasting and praying. I had to go and preach somewhere. I think I went to Kano or something. So I came back. So they will pray from morning till evening. And I'll join them. We'll lead them, we'll pray. I said, before we start the meetings. So one person asked me a question December that year, because we had a program, Kingdom Harvest Festival. He said, why did you have us do that then? I'm wondering. I said, you were only looking at the room we're doing the program. I was looking at the whole world. You were looking at the room. Is it not to put the chairs? I said, the reason why you have a small vision for what you are doing, you've not prayed. When God opens you up and you see what is in that cell group, hey, a rabbi, you'll be afraid. When your eyes open like the servant of Elisha, and you say, eh, so this is what, this is the people I'm gathering. And you open up, and it's in prayer you see it. I say, ah! You will stop going lazily for the meeting. You'll be going,
45 minutes. You just look at it. 1 hour is enough. I'm preaching 1 hour. Pray 1 hour.
But when you are laboring and you see the child and you see the nations,
the kind of tears that will come out of your eyes, you say, oh God. Look at the revivals of Charles Finney. There was a man called Father Nash, or John Hyde. They said they will pray and their breath will stain the walls. They will pray and pray out. And literally, there was one had a landlord. The landlord now was wondering, this man has not come out to eat. So he passed food. He'll come the next day. The food is still there. He passed food. He'll come next day. The man is just praying. You just hear him say, oh God. Because the man will bring out the names of the sinners in the whole city. And he said, give me the harshest one, the hardest one. I'll start praying for him. If I can bring this one out, the others will follow. That cannot happen because they are urging you to pray. Your prayer group say, let us pray. God shall go now. What are you doing? Quickly, you go to the toilet 10 times. Is that the body? You say, you are still having time. You bring out your phone. And you are saying, that it doesn't touch you. When you are in, and they call out the prayer points. God, this is important. And you catch the spirit. Let me say this. There are some of us. 3 hours you have been praying. When heaven wants to look at what you have done, maybe 10 minutes. And you have just wasted days. Just playing by the rules. Just following the motion. And not catching the spirit there. God is doing something. He has asked you. Why do you think we pray every day? He told us. Some of you were not born again when he told us to pray that way. You were not born again. It's not like you were not born again. He told us. We had some things that happened to us like 2008. And we were in my house. And I said to we prayed. We had this meeting at the end of the year. And I sang the song, more and more of you, Lord. I thirst for more. More of the nations of the earth. By the next year, we started having different churches. So we just pray. That is what we are supposed to do. If you don't know what to do, pray. In fact, when you pray, you know what to do. Watch this. So therefore, there are many conversions. Who just say, say after me, Jesus is Lord. Thank you. Go away. But there is no birth, no encounter that will come in the place of prayer. Look at what Jesus said to Peter. Does that not take your attention? He said, Simon Peter, Satan has desired to sit you like this, but I pray for you. He now says something. When you are, that your faith should not fail. When you are converted, strengthen the brethren. There are people on your prayer list. They are like Peter. There's something on their lives. That's why he brought them. Who is Peter? Peter was the guy that can bring out swords anytime. The guy that was far from. He was a regular guy. But when you start to pray, you start to see who they really are. The burdens of prayer are like the travels of a woman. Epaphras. Paul says, he labors. Look at it, Colossians 4. Are you here? Epaphras, Colossians 4. Verse 12. Who is one of them? Say, always laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you will stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. Galatians 4:19. My little children, of whom I travail. All this is Genesis 3:15 motif. In birth till Christ be formed in you. I travail in preaching. I travail in prayer. So I put somewhere here. How does it come? It comes by revelation of God's Spirit. God will prompt your heart. Shagun. Wale. He sets your heart. How does it come? Prophecy. Daniel said, we understood by the books. Daniel 10. So he set himself to pray. So you will know by prophecy. And you say, guys, from God's agenda, is this what should be happening now? That's not what he told us. He spoke to us in 2015. This is what he said. Is this happening now? Has anything dwindled? Ah, something has dwindled. Guys, you know by prophecy. Three, you know just by looking at events. Jesus looked over Jerusalem and he wept. He began to weep. He saw. In Acts 17, verse 11, Paul, is this 11 or 16? Let me just check it quickly. I'll close from here. Acts 17, verse 16. Paul waited for them in Athens. His spirit was stirred in him when he saw. He saw it. So, the burdens that will come when you hear something. Satan will want you to interpret it as fear, discouragement, but it's a burden. It's a burden. And then he saw the whole city given to idolatry. You can catch these things in prayer meetings. They get up and say, we're going to pray for all the fortress. We're going to pray. I told you, I met guys at a wedding. I was to officiate at the wedding. I officiated there. They came to my side, they started greeting me. I said, ah, bless you. If I met somebody today, the guy said, sir, today, I went somewhere, so I saw him. He said, you don't know me? I said, interestingly, years ago, your cousin stayed in my house. I said, I mentioned, because I know that one. You know what I said, oh, says my cousin. He said, I didn't know what God had for us, but I just came around your meetings, mentioned the time, and I laid hold of God's call. I'm now a pastor. But I said, oh, I didn't know him. Just came around. This is the fruit of those prayer meetings. You know, we can do more. We can do more. We have hundreds of ministries who are in the earth today, pastoring all over the place because they heard us speak. It didn't come because we were speaking well. It came because the spirit of grace and supplication in our prayer groups. So when you hear those prayer points, who is talking to you? God. I'm saying every week, every prayer meeting, it's time to catch the burdens of prayer. Stand to your feet. Just pray in tongues.